My name is Danny, and I was Mackenzie's youth minister for a little bit. And I had the distinct privilege and honor and joy of being one of her references a few months ago when she applied for the job at Westwood. And I couldn't say no because she never asked me to be a reference. So. And I imagine, I'm blanking on your name, I'm sorry, but I imagine the person who was on that search committee is here. Her name is like Gladys or Kevin, or is that, I guess they're not here. So anyway, I would have said yes for many reasons. Mackenzie, I love Mackenzie, I've known her for a long time, and she's a very easy person to say good things about. I didn't have to lie, certainly. I didn't have to rephrase things creatively to this committee. Mackenzie's not a jerk, she's not mean, she's argumentative. Not argumentative, so I didn't have to say things like, Mackenzie sticks to her convictions. I could just share honestly who she was. The only really challenge was that every time I shared something nice or talked about her attributes or her skills or her abilities, I didn't think of a story to share to illustrate those gifts. And it was difficult to choose just one. I thought maybe I could share something from the years when Mackenzie was an awkward middle schooler, or maybe something more recently when she's blossomed into an awkward adult. I felt like if anything, I took up too much of this search committee's time by just saying all these great things about Mackenzie's gifts and talents and abilities. But one story comes to mind at the very end of this conversation. I shared with this search committee member, are you sure you really want to do this? Are you sure you really want Mackenzie to be on staff at your congregation? The reason I shared those words is I don't think Mackenzie's big gift to the church is what everyone thinks that it is. So one story that I closed in sharing with this search committee, many, many years ago, when Mackenzie was still a youth, we had a random visitor pop into our Sunday night youth gathering. And from the second this person came in the door, they were very difficult. They were a challenge. They were very upset. They were very angry. There were outbursts. There was lots of poor language, lots of defiant behavior. And they were at the same time withdrawn from what was going on and also very distracting from what we were trying to do. And at the end of the night, essentially the youth program that I had planned for that night, none of it could have happened. The lesson, the prayer, the music, the activity, all of it was compromised because of this one student who came in the room. They were quite a handful. They were quite difficult. They were quite a challenge. But instinctively, Mackenzie sought this child out, comforted her, shepherded her, not just that night, but in the many weeks that came after. We found out later why this particular night and why the coming weeks were difficult for this student. She had been in foster care for a couple of years. Her mother was making some unsafe choices, and so this child had to be removed from the home. Difficult for any kid. The very week that this child joined us for the first time, her biological mother, who she had been unable to see for the last couple years, had died of a drug overdose. And to this day, this child, now an adult, says one of her big regrets in life was not being able to attend her own mother's funeral. Very difficult situation for any teenager. We also learned that this child was on the autism spectrum, and so processing life on its own was very challenging, but something as difficult as losing a parent, being in foster care, impossible to comprehend. And I don't mean this as a joke, but she was also a teenager, and sometimes emotional regulation is difficult during the teenage years. I'm looking around the room and seeing some nods that, yeah, Mackenzie did the right thing in welcoming this child. That is very easy to say on this side of the information. We all know how difficult this child's life must have been. We all know probably where those behaviors were coming from. But Mackenzie didn't know any of that. She simply saw. She saw someone who was hurting, and that was enough. And I wish more Christians had that attitude. This child later became a cornerstone of our youth group, a core member, and led us into this neighborhood across the street. And the kids in the neighborhood largely became the youth group, and to this day, they're the majority of this youth group. Again, Mackenzie didn't know that. She didn't know, wow, if I invest in this kid, it'll pay off. Wow, this kid has potential. She didn't know any of that. All she knew that this child was hurting, and that was enough. I don't think Mackenzie's gift to the church is music. No offense to any musicians. Some of us have more talent than others, God-given talent, but music can be taught. You can literally take music lessons. There's a piano teacher right there and a guitar teacher right there. Some of us find it easier than others, but anyone can learn to play an instrument or sing. You can take lessons. Spend as much time as you want practicing. Mackenzie is a gifted speaker and communicator. You can take lessons in public speaking as well. Mackenzie knows church history, scripture, biblical languages, theology. You can go to seminary. I did, and I'm dumb. So anyone can learn that stuff. And I don't mean to diminish those as unimportant skills. They are very important. But they can be taught. To look at a hurting person and think the only thing that qualifies them for help is the fact that they are hurting. That is something that is just in Mackenzie as who she is. And it's the gift that the church needs moving forward. In the New Testament, Jesus seems very interruptible. Almost every key teaching or healing or miracle took place in Jesus' life when he was trying to do something else. The generic phrase, on the way, or Jesus was passing through a certain town, and he was interrupted. He had another agenda, he had something to do, and yet he saw someone who was hurt, in need of social or physical healing. He saw a quarrel and decided to settle it, or he saw a person in need of forgiveness and decided to forgive them. But he had another plan in mind and was willing to set it aside to help a hurting person. If we believe that what Jesus was doing was important, and I think we all do, we also believe that Jesus is willing to put it aside to help someone, and that's the priority. In ministry, there is a lot to be done, and I don't want to discourage Mackenzie from not doing hard work. But compassion is her gift to the church. Whatever form the church takes in the future, it needs compassion. The church in America is in the state that it's in, not because we lack quality musicians or quality preachers or educated teachers, but because we lack compassion. So Mackenzie should do important work, but it's also important not to confuse what is urgent with what is important. So Mackenzie, I love you very much. There will be times when people will convince you that compassion is not a good gift, that it is a distraction from ministry, that is their loss. So continue to offer compassion to the church, to those you meet. You are a gift in my life, and you are a gift to the church. Amen.
Good evening. I'm Jane Williams, and I'm joined by Lee Cothran, and we represent the Ordination Council this evening. Our council was appointed by deacons of Yates Baptist Church and given a weighty charge. We are accountable in many directions, inward to this congregation, outward to the world, hand in hand with Mackenzie, and all of it in the presence of God. Before we go further, I want to pause and offer one more introduction. Glenda Poindexter was the third member of this council. Glenda was a layperson, seminary trained, and someone who loved and appreciated Mackenzie. Glenda was thrilled to serve on this council. She wanted to be here for this. Glenda died unexpectedly in January, and we have felt her absence. Lee will light a candle in her memory. Grief doesn't wait for a convenient moment. It shows up and demands we acknowledge it. If you're carrying the pain of loss into this time tonight for Glenda, for someone else, for something still unresolved. You are seen. There is room for it all here.
Now, Mackenzie. We've spent months with her, reading her work, asking questions, listening, praying. What we found is a person whose call is real, whose formation runs deep, and whose love for the church is evident in everything she does. Mackenzie is a gifted worship leader. She understands that worship is not a show. It is where God's people gather to be fed, sent, and changed. She knows how to hold space for silence and for song, lament and praise, for beauty and for the unfinished things. She has an instinct for drawing out voices that often go unheard. She is theologically serious. She is not sentimental about her justice commitments. Her commitments are grounded in God's character, in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, in the restorative work of the Holy Spirit. She stands with people on the margins because she has met the Christ who lived there.
Mackenzie is honest in ways that surprised us. She named her struggles with imposter syndrome candidly. She said she's still learning to believe that God loves her for who she is, not what she produces. That kind of clarity in a 25-year-old is unusual. And it tells us that she has the capacity to grow, and she is ready. Not because everything is figured out, not because ministry will be simple, but because she has been called and she said yes. This council examined Mackenzie carefully. We prayed with her, we asked difficult questions, and she answered them with both conviction and humility. It is their unanimous delight to present Mackenzie Savannah Smith as candidate for ordination to the gospel ministry.